Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
America tonight, they are celebrating some anyway in Israel. Netanyahu, fourth time the charm, as he is still the prime minister of Israel. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, as I said, coming up at the tail end of this hour, we will go to Tel Aviv and speak with Luke Vargas, who is there covering the election. Netanyahu claims it's a great victory. And now the power grab begins. So how about that? He earned the most votes in the parliamentary elections. Lots of people turned out to vote, over 70%, a huge amount. So what does that mean, especially with all the maneuverings between Netanyahu and our president? The fact that you had him 2 weeks ago speaking to Congress and 50-plus times a standing ovation, but he was invited by the Republicans. The president, I think, felt snubbed, said he couldn't influence the election, so he wouldn't meet with Netanyahu when he came to the United States. From somebody in power to somebody who is losing power, and there's a couple of stories here. One is this Republican lawmaker who had everything going for him. Let's face it, good luck, good looks, charming, some luck, some backing for sure. Youth was on his side. He was one of the youngest, 27. And at 33, he resigns after Aaron Schock, the congressman from Illinois, was heavily being looked at because of his extravagant spending. And the question became, well, where is that coming from? He modeled his office, redecorated it after the PBS program Downton Abbey. So there was a public watchdog group that filed a federal ethics complaint against him for using congressional money to, guess what? Knock, knock. Congressman Schock redesigned the office and for billing taxpayers or his campaign tens of thousands of dollars in private air travel on donor-owned planes. So I think he felt the walls closing in and decided, yeah, I'm going to bail. Even the Associated Press is saying, and they reported, that a shell company linked to Schock paid a political donor $750,000 last year for a warehouse in Peoria, then took out a $600,000 mortgage for the property from a local bank run by other donors. And you can find that stuff online. You just have to be able to put the pieces together. So he's out, maybe criminal charges, but most likely everything else gets dumped congressionally with him resigning. The server of the Clintons is heavily coveted, certainly by the Republicans on the Hill, but there are others that are saying, well, wait a second, if there were emails on the private server and we could scrub the private server, why can't we have the Clintons' hardware? Why can't we get it? And they're definitely stonewalling that conversation. In fact, here's the Speaker of the House talking about it.
Let me reiterate that the American people deserve all the facts about what happened in Benghazi. That's why it's so important for Secretary Clinton to turn over her personal server to a neutral third party. That I think this is the fairest way to make sure that we have all the documents that belong to the public and ultimately all the facts.
All right, all the facts. Who knows if we'll get all the facts? Because when this happened, what was the first thing? Just take your mind back to it. I don't care what your ideology is. What did you think when you heard what happened with Clinton? Oh, yeah, I guess I should have used a State Department account. I should have done that then. Oh, got rid of my private emails. But now they're going to turn over some more emails. And will they yield anything? And then the big question is, did she sign the separation form? Because when you leave, you sign a separation form in any department. but so they don't have a record of that. The State Department said Tuesday it's got no record of Hillary Clinton signing a key form stating that she turned over all official documents when she left the department. So there's intense heat on a little piece of paper because it could determine whether she broke the law or not. So to give you a little more on this, to flush it out, in other words, this thing is called a separation form. A lot of companies even have separation forms, but the document is that. And they're supposed to sign upon leaving their department, State Department, for her. And it certifies that the person who signs it has turned over all the classified or administrative materials, which makes sense, as well as unclassified docs and papers, blah, blah, blah. But because she used personal email, that was her address while Secretary of State, and didn't turn over the records until late last year, who knows what, you know, with this form. If she signed the form, she gave a false statement and broke the law, but now they're saying they can't find it, that she didn't sign it. And the State Department, Jen Psaki, told reporters they're fairly certain she did not sign it. So then there's nothing you can get her on there. Well, she didn't sign it, so whoops, we dropped the ball again, but it doesn't matter. You know, she says she didn't violate any policy. She said Tuesday that neither of Clinton's two immediate predecessors, Colin Powell and Condi Rice, signed a statement either. Because then that's the way to circle that around. It's crazy. I've even seen quoted a senior lawyer under George W. Bush saying that the form in question, which is called an OF-109, is calling in question whether Clinton committed a violation by using personal email as well as when she was Secretary of State and then not turning over the emails that were work-related until leaving the department. But if you read in between the lines, I think she gets it clear. I've said it before. To me, she's very Teflon. And eventually that comes back to haunt you, but I don't know that there's enough right now that that's going to happen. I wouldn't gamble away the future on that. But I'd say for now it's a safe bet. Let's put it that way. It's a safe bet. And by the way, somebody mailed cyanide to the press. Yes, indeed. Sent to the White House, tested positively for cyanide. It's not that it's that uncommon because it happens. Remember, we went through the whole anthrax scare. But the thing is if somebody gets exposed to it, then curtains, that's the finale of what happens when you're in deep. But so far, that has not been the case. It has not been the case. So they had to ramp up those protections since 9/11 created the whole anthrax thing. And not that they always weren't in place, because they certainly were. Knowing that, yeah, if you're going to try to get to a president or when somebody's at the White House, what would you do? You could plant something and you could explode it that way. But regardless, tested positive, nobody hurt. That's the good thing. That's the great thing that you can say nobody was hurt in this one. Coming up, old school, new school, can you relate? Would you prefer that we were back in the old days? Or do you like the new wild technology days? I'll find out next. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
You gotta love some Irish music as we usher out St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. What's left of it in some parts of the country, I guess, you know, it lingers into the wee hours. That's how we roll, right? We can tack on and a little bit of an extra day, a few hours anyway. This is from the Delaneys and the Fitzgeralds, my family, full-on Irish, coming to the United States of America through Ellis Island and one set through Canada. But the Irish had a huge parade in Dublin, just like they did in New York City. In our country, I think New York City and Boston kind of rival each other. And you got to love that they turn the river green in Chicago. It looks very cool when it's a pretty bright day. And the pictures I saw illustrated that. You just saw this green. And it wasn't, it's not crummy green. It's sort of like brilliant green, let's put it that way. And I think Matt Johnson, who's going to join us for the next segment, likes the Irish music because he's having a belated St. Paddy's Day celebration when he's off the air.
Very, very belated, yes.
St. Patrick's Day is really a fun time to go out. People are in good moods and of all ages, but certainly when you're younger, there's no question. But you had, the problem is, are you getting off of work? Are you missing classes? You know, what is it? And it kind of falls in conveniently.
The best thing I've found is when St. Patrick's Day is on a weekday.
Oh, yeah.
And you go out during the day. That's the best time because you get a sense of it all. The people who are out during the day are very into it. and then you can avoid all the crowds and all the, the craziness that happens after 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and it is crazy. Oh, it can be nasty crazy. Absolutely. I agree. It's fun. The buzz, kind of buzz crowd that's not a buzz kill is during the day. Absolutely. So on that note, let's go to old school versus new schools. Matt, the first one is paper bills versus paperless. When I go into banks and stuff now, people are saying to me, hey, do you want to go paperless? We're trying to go paperless. Would you prefer that? Or do you have to have paper in the mail? On some things, I still want paper on the mail, you know, in the mail, not on it. So I would be old school. How about you?
I think I was a slow convert to this because when it first came out, the paperless, I was very hesitant about it. And so, you know, bank statements, credit cards, that kind of thing, they were all still being delivered by mail. But then I'd have, you know, like the electricity and the cable bill, that kind of stuff as paperless. And then I slowly converted into everything is now paperless. It's so much easier, and it's just easier to get an email when your bill's going to be due, and then you can use an app or do whatever, or go to the website, even on your phone. I mean, I do almost everything through my phone these days. I pay most of my bills, my energy bill, my cable, my bank statements. I get all that on an app through my phone.
I'm starting to do that thing. Easier, right? There's ways that you can organize the bills, and doing it through the phone and an app especially is really good because of that. But you have to be able to keep track of it. If you're deleting emails, then you get into trouble. If you're used to the paper, you got to be careful on some things. And you have to be able to go back if they ask for records, so then you got to keep those emails or at least a record
I'm
of it.
I'm relatively poor at deleting emails. That's never really a problem for me.
Well, see, that's good then. I am relatively poor at doing that as well, but then it's a question of finding them. You got to have them in the right folders or at least be able to dig through it. So, all right, interesting. I think more and more people are going to be doing the paperless thing. I mean, this kind of dovetails into that to throw a curveball into this, but I can't stand, and I know some of us still have checks because they force you to pay by a check or whatever, but when I'm in the grocery store and the person in front of me is writing out a full-on check. Why, people?
Yeah, I don't get that. I know there's some things, like people pay rent that way, or
yeah,
there's certain, maybe like a large bill, or you know, something like that, but I just don't understand why you need to do that anymore. Everything is just, technology is there to be able to use, you know, your credit card, your debit card, or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. So, I mean, it's just so much easier to swipe the card, and that's what it's all about. Okay, how about this? Grades. I noticed this with my nephew. It used to be grades A, B, C, D, and F, and now there's some schools, and I went to a school, actually, that was, when I was a kid, where they went through a period where they just gave you satisfactory and unsatisfactory, which I thought was brutal, because, satisfactory, what is that, equivalent to an A, and unsatisfactory, is that a D, an F, what is that? So I still prefer letter grades so you know exactly what the percentage is. I think satisfactory and unsatisfactory is weird. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely, especially when at that age, too, you know, like going up through high school. But once you, I mean, there's some, you know, when you go to college, there's some courses that you can take, you know, the pass-fail, which, I mean, I understand about it. Like, I remember I took a library class. It was like the introductory of the library. That was a pass-fail. There were some, like, I don't know. There's a couple classes where it's just do the pass-fail and you'll get it out of the way. But I don't know. I think when you're high school and under, you definitely need the ABC.
Yeah, I think so, too. It could be different. I agree. It could be different at the college level. How about this? Ordering pizza that's made and delivered hot with whatever it is you want on top of it versus a lot of chains are popping up. One of them is called Papa Murphy's where you have to make it yourself. They make it. You just bring it home and pop it in the oven. Would you rather go and do that and watch them put the toppings on or lay on the couch and just answer the door?
I think it depends on what you're doing. I would say the majority of the time I'd go for having them cook it in their oven, especially it depends on what place it's from. If they have like a nice, you know, one of those brick ovens or the coal-fired ovens. But I've done the Papa Murphy's, and then there's like a Z Pizza, too. and a couple other ones where they have, you know, they use like more natural ingredients and all that, and it's supposed to be a healthier pizza. And I've done that for like the Super Bowl and other parties like that, where it's just, it's too hectic to order like a Papa John's or something like that on the Super Bowl. So you just grab the pizza ahead of time, you cook it in your oven at your house while you're having the party.
Yep, I think that makes complete sense to me. It's kind of fun anyway when you pump, you know, when you put them in for the party, it makes sense, you're there. But otherwise, it really depends on your mood, what's happening at your place, that kind of thing. Hiking versus rock climbing. Rock climbing, let me explain this a little bit more. You know, doing it indoors, giant walls, all the pre-made stuff that they have. And a lot of kids rock climb now. Not that you couldn't rock climb before, but usually you went on a hike versus rock climbing. So are you old school hiking or rock climbing?
I guess if I'm going to be doing one of those, it would probably be the hiking, I guess. So then you can at least get some scenic views and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't want to scurry up a man-made wall. Forget it. Snorkeling versus snuba. Have you ever snubed before?
I've never even heard of that.
Okay, it's very popular at resorts in Hawaii, but not just Hawaii, all over the place, where you can go deeper in the water. So you kind of have this tube, but you're not, you don't have air tanks and you're not scuba diving. You can go further down, and it's called snuba. Snorkel, you still have to come up sooner, or usually you're looking down and your snorkel's up on the top of the water. Here you go way deeper.
Having never done it, I guess I don't know. I've been snorkeling before. I guess it would be interesting to try the snuba.
Yeah, the snuba is not too expensive. You should try it because it's fun. And like I said, you go deeper, you see more cool creatures and fish and whatnot. And you get it pulls you down so you're not as buoyant, which I think is good. And that's the object, what you're trying to do, cause instead of wearing a weight belt and sometimes other crazy nonsense people have to do. All right, how about this one? And we sort of talked about this before, but e-cards versus real cards, meaning more and more people are getting sucked into that, and they send somebody an e-card. It's nice, you click on it, but there's something about going to the mailbox and getting a real card.
Yeah, I think if it's for like a special event, birthday or Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, you go for the regular card. I think the e-cards, for me, I don't know if they're technically e-cards, but you know the e-cards with the jokes on them, the little one-page things?
Yeah.
Those are funny, but I wouldn't...
I think so, too.
Those are more things you, like, share with people. I don't think it's actually getting the cards.
No, and like I said, I mean, how much mail do we get now anyway? It's usually junk mail, and it's nice to go and get the surprise birthday card or card for a special occasion versus the e-cards, but some of them are really, really funny. When in doubt, go for the real card. People like to, I think, feel that and go to the mailbox and get it. All right, Matt, thanks. Coming up next, Luke Vargas.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now, no other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Catch up with Luke Vargas in Jerusalem. May have some trouble getting through to the studio, but if he does, obviously we'll talk to him, and if not, we will in the next day or two. Because the big word is Benjamin Netanyahu reelected as prime minister for the fourth time. Looks like the coming to America, not having the conversation with Obama, being embraced by the Republicans in Congress didn't hurt him as much as some thought that it would. Couple of quick notes here for you. I know that some of you are hawks when it comes to recalls. If you have on your shelf somewhere Kraft macaroni and cheese, boy, it always looks so good, doesn't it? But it's not great for you, I gotta say, with the fake cheese. It's like what I call one of those monster foods. When you, there's just food you like that's, you know, not necessarily good for you. Well, this time you've got to really watch it, because they're recalling 242,000 cases of its trademark flavor macaroni and cheese dinners. Some boxes might have small metal pieces. Ugh. Yeah, that'd not be good. The small 3-packs, 4-packs that you see on the shelves, those are the ones they're worried about. And they say they were stamped with best if used by dates of September 18th through October 11th, 15, and they had the code C2. I know you're all scurrying to your cabinets right now on it, but if you're eating metal, please put it down because they're recalling that kind of macaroni and cheese. Yeah, not good. How about this? Missouri executed a man who his attorneys claim suffered from dementia. This was a controversial, certainly, and Missouri's oldest death row inmate, because that's what he was, for the 1996 shooting death of a sheriff deputy after the Supreme Court and the governor declined to spare the 74-year-old. His attorneys were arguing, hey, this guy has no mind. He was incapacitated because of a sawmill accident decades ago, but Cecil Clayton was put to death by lethal injection after Governor Jay Nixon denied clemency, that final request, and the Supremes turned aside the appeals of claiming that he was mentally incompetent. By the way, the Missouri Supreme Court, it was a 4-3 ruling that they had already declined to intervene with the court's majority. So how about that? Missouri and the and Clayton, Cecil Clayton, that saga comes to an end by a lethal injection. And then how about this crazy story? I guess I shouldn't say it's crazy. It seems like more things are happening on planes, or maybe it's just me. But a guy on a plane that was going from Washington, D.C. to Denver started yelling, jihad, jihad, there's jihadists. There's jihadists in the cargo. They're there. And was running down the aisle, running toward the cockpit, and the passengers tackled him and held him down. So United Airlines says they're looking into it. They're going to investigate. He was not arrested, but instead he's being evaluated after that. And, boy, I saw the video because, of course, now we have cell phone video of everything. And it was sad, really. They were holding him down, which it was nutty, and he was yelling that. And scary, scary when somebody does that. But they got him, turned the plane around because it happened pretty quickly, and landed the plane and got him off of the plane. And was he just, that's why they're evaluating him to see if, they don't believe there was any sort of tie at all to Al-Qaeda or anything like that, that it was just a crazy rant, that he wasn't well, and that's the reason that he did it. He just popped and ran up the aisle. So when you get on these planes, you never know. That would be absolutely jarring to be sitting in your seat and to hear that and then to look over. But how about the passengers? Ever since 9/11, nobody just sits there. There's going to be some group or some people that are going to go after the person who decides that they're going to ruin the flight and do something crazy, whether it's jump on the cart and roll it down the aisle or bang on the cockpit door, whatever it might be. So while we get ready for 2016, all you keep hearing is, when is somebody going to announce? When are they going to announce? And Rand Paul is expected to make his announcement on April 7th, his announcement for president. So that's not a surprise, right? I mean, he's done all the things that you do, going to Iowa and New Hampshire and making the rounds and doing the CPAC thing, part of the straw poll. He's going for it, not a shocker. And maybe, unless suddenly he steps up and the declaration is, thanks for your support, but I'm not going to run. But I would be surprised, because first of all, he's going to make the announcement, so you know it's going to be the announcement that he's running. He's going to make the announcement at the Galt Hotel in Louisville, which is a historic area, and it'll be followed by campaign stops in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. So he's been very, very active and in these last couple of months, and the announcement comes when the Senate isn't scheduled to be in session and is at the start of a three-month, in fact, reporting window to federal election officials. So that gives them time to fundraise before disclosure requirements are filed. And April 7th, by the way, will be the day after the championship game in the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. The University of Kentucky, of course, is an overwhelming favorite in the tournament that starts on, that's started. And in the last couple of weeks, Paul has said that he'd make his decision in March or April, and he's been looking for input on whether a campaign would be viable. So I think he feels that he has his answer and that it is viable. So Rand Paul, who is a favorite of a lot of people, you know, I like a lot of things about Rand Paul. He's a good choice when it comes to liberties. He's a good choice when it comes to not towing the line. I think he goes against the grain, even if it's not always the best thing for him, because it's that whole politics of Washington, but good for him. I think you get as authentic as you can get with Rand Paul, and he certainly gets the campaign thing and what you have to do on the trail and, you know, the toll it takes on that and the fundraising, because fundraising is just the name of the game. You have to have those packs. You have to have that money pumped in behind you, or forget about it, because it just takes that much to prop you up, especially in a presidential run. One of the things that you always get asked when you're running for president and you're part of any kind of debate is, what's your foreign policy and what do you think about our defense and the money spent on defense? And as president, what would be your plan? And the Pentagon is saying, I just thought of this because they were asking for more money. The Pentagon is saying that they've lost their ability to monitor the location of 500 million in weapons, planes and such, and equipment donated to one of our friends by, of course, our country, meaning Yemen. So our military aid to Yemen is just lost. We have no idea. Oh, 500 million, gosh. Well, we know that it went to some firearms and whatnot, but how much, when, and, I mean, no record keeping. So there seems to be a problem with records in the government. I'm sure not shocking to most of you. The Defense Department lost track of the weapons after the sudden withdrawal from the embassy in Yemen last month. What kind of weapons are missing is what I would want to know. What kind of weapons, what kind of equipment are we talking about? Especially in Yemen, where you have rebels that have occupied a lot of military bases in the northern part of that country. Al-Qaeda recently took over a base in the south, so that equipment could potentially have been secured by the wrong hands, the wrong group. And when you're talking about that amount of money, it's not too far off the beaten path to say, oh, I think I know what happened to those weapons. I think I know where those tanks went. And can you imagine, if you look at Yemen, can you imagine where they would be used? Pretty easy. Think of the quicksands of the Middle East, and I bet you'll have your answer. So, not good that they don't know where the equipment went. I mean, is it the heat of the battle? Gosh, we got to get them weapons, and I don't get it. Because every one of my dealings with the military, and through family members, what I know, they're so very precise. It's about certain rules that you follow, certain codes. And here, you know, there's no ledger, there's no place to put the ins and outs, there's no QuickBooks, there's no whatever. How do you lose 500 million worth of equipment, cars, and that kind of thing? Wow. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
St. Paddy's Day is coming soon to Guns80.com. My buddy Mark is rolling in clover since Guns80.com announced its clean and green sale. He used his leprechaun-like magical powers to get Guns80.com to offer us a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Now, for a limited time, when you order an AR-15 rifle kit, Guns80.com will toss in a cleaning kit and a tactical bipod pistol grip free, all for the low, low price of $449.95. Go to Guns80.com. That's Guns80.com.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
We love to do this. We love to grade and sort of look at a report card, especially when it comes to Congress. And I'm so excited because we've got somebody who really dove deep into this, a 60-day Republican Congress report card. Joining us now is international author Patrick Anadol. He has been really keeping score and can tally it all up for us on what's going on with the Republicans and what's happening in Washington, D.C., taking a pulse, so to speak. Patrick, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Good evening.
So let's talk about this. As you look at 60 days and this whole idea of heading into the Congress being controlled the majority by the Republicans, both in the Senate, obviously, and also congressionally speaking, what have you found? What did you find as you looked at some of the storylines and some of the issues and what happened?
Well, there's not an awful lot to score because not a lot has happened. The Senate, at least they pretended to be interested in trying to move forward in a bipartisan fashion and try and get some stuff done. I think the Congress itself, the House, is beyond redemption. They all, you know, people voted in 2014 for a House with 11% approval rating, and they wanted an even stupider House, so that's what they're going to get, and they're going to get probably very little done in the House. And so the Senate talked about, you know, maybe tweaking Obamacare, approving the Keystone Pipeline. They talked about tax reform, immigration reform. And you look at that, if you take those words and see what they actually achieved, well, we talk about Obamacare. Well, the House proceeded to, the 56th time, try and repeal Obamacare, knowing it would be vetoed, knowing it's not going to happen. So you have to ask yourself, why are they spending taxpayers' money doing the same thing 56 times? Could they be using their time more usefully to the benefit of taxpayers? But the Senate themselves, they've introduced and pulled an abortion bill that hasn't gone anywhere. They passed the Keystone bill, but that was knowing it was going to be vetoed. They threatened Homeland Security over an immigration issue, and they buckled on that. So Homeland Security was financed. So other than that, what are they doing? They've made headlines about, a senator suggesting maybe employees didn't need to wash their hands, or there's been discussion about vaccines, which, you're asking yourself, am I going to listen to somebody who doesn't talk about science and doesn't talk about facts when it comes to deciding on vaccines, or am I going to listen to scientists and people who have facts? What I call the stupid party does not have any basis in facts when it comes to vaccine or global warming or whatever else the issue might be. I think that, as I said, the Congress itself is not going to achieve anything, because they've gotten even sillier than they were before. And whatever Obama does, they will oppose it. If Obama wanted to put troops on the ground against ISIS, then Congress will suddenly say, why are we doing that? If he doesn't want to do it, then they want to do it. So whatever he wants to do, they'll want to do the opposite. So nothing's going to happen, because they can't be seen to their base to do anything to support Obama's presumed perceived agenda. And a few other things that happened to indicate that the base has gotten even sillier since the 2014 election. Only 22% of Republicans believe that Ferguson represents as racial issues attached to it, which I think is fairly obvious there are racial issues in Ferguson. 57% of Republicans want to dismantle the Constitution and establish Christianity as the official national religion. Only 30% oppose making Christianity the national religion. That's of Republican voters. And then you had the 47 senators writing to Iran, going against protocol. This has never happened to any other president, and you have to ask, what gives them the nerve to do that? Is it race-based? Is there something to do with some form of bigotry there, that you would undermine the president of the United States? He's negotiating with five other countries to try and tackle Iran. And bear in mind, with the falling oil price, the administration has the upper hand with both Iran and Russia. So you don't really have to spend all your time getting into ecstasy about whether it be Netanyahu, who's a right-wing extremist in Israel, or Putin, who's another right-wing extremist in Russia. So if you just let the foreign policy be dictated to some extent by people who actually know what they're doing, and so writing letters to Iran. So that's what they did. They wrote a letter to Iran, 47 of them, signed off. Right. Most of them, many of them are now backtracking and admitting that it was a mistake, or coming out with various sorts of excuses. And then if you look at, Tom Cotton, who was the leader of all of this, you've got to ask yourself, why? Obviously, he was an Iraq veteran and all of that, but he's definitely in it for money and war. He's just a war. He just loves wars. He desperately wants to undermine peace talks in Iran. You have to ask why. Well, then you have to look at where he gets his campaign contributions for. Where do the many Republicans get their? Why are they suddenly so pro Netanyahu? Well, it turns out that the Israeli lobby had been putting in four billionaires had contributed $115 million to Republicans in the 2012 and 2014 election cycles. If you look at Tom Cotton. In Arkansas, he gets $1 million or maybe $700,000 from the Emergency Committee for Israel. He gets another $350,000 from two other pro-Israel billionaires, Paul Singer and Seth Blyman. He gets another $143,000 from Elliott Management, which is founded by Paul Singer, the same billionaire. He gets money from Sheldon Ellison, who was willing to give Romney $100 million just to make sure that Romney didn't investigate the penal operation. Or And then Romney followed through on whatever Netanyahu's, whatever Adelson's position was on Israel, which is very, he would suggest using nuclear weapons against the Arabs. So, and obviously he's backed by the Koch Industries, he's backed by Americans for Prosperity, which is founded by the Koch, by the Koch brothers. And so he's paid, he got so much money in his election cycle in 2014 from being that Arkansas election, but he's bound to take the Netanyahu position. He will always have to deny global warming, because anybody who gets money from Americans for Prosperity has to sign a pledge that they won't do anything to support the concept of global warming. So, you know, money is talking. Money is talking to these Republicans, especially and Netanyahu, and the Israeli issue is sort of proof in the pudding that they're suddenly, he's their wonder boy in Israel, Netanyahu, an extreme right-wing party allied with Israel. It's very ironic.
It is very ironic. Do you, in that sense, do you, the perspective that you bring, certainly, as I mentioned, internationally, and looking at, you're an international author and looking at it through that way. And by the way, your book, of course, will tell everybody is, Stupid Party Math versus Myth. Do you think, your opinion is what others share, that, you know, they're looking at this and saying, what's going on in America? Because I found that when I lived in Europe, people were constantly, Patrick, asking me about American politics and saying they didn't understand something, whatever it was going on.
Yeah, we're appalled. First of all, there's nothing in my book that probably actually 80% of Americans wouldn't agree with. It's a very orthodox book. But just by taking an orthodox stance, you can see how much utter nonsense the Republican Party has been talking for the last few years. I mean, they're not, their economic policy, as espoused by Romney in the 2012 convention speech, was totally vacuous. It's like 200 words out of 2,200, and it didn't really say anything. And he talked about how foreigners perceive America. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Romney goes to the Olympic Games. Remember the London Olympic Games? Within 12 hours, 24 hours, every single the three leaders of the political parties were just appalled by what he said. The mayor of London, Boris Johnson, just took the piss out of him the whole time. To have the leaders of each major party strongly criticize an American presidential candidate, that's unheard of. It took him 24 hours to piss off the whole of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, 24, that's it. Unbelievable.
I mean, he is a stunningly bad candidate. He didn't have any ideas that went beyond the top 0.5% of the U.S. population. Trickle-down does not work. It's never worked. And you look at every statistic. Every time you allow unfettered capitalism to reign, whether it be the Great Depression, whether it be the Gilded Age, or now again today, you know, in 2008 with the economic meltdown, mm-hmm. it will lead to a financial collapse, which is very close to the Second Depression. And then you have to go back to changing economics to save the economy, which is pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you there. I think people don't really understand what trickle down means, and you're right in that analogy of trickle up. Absolutely. Patrick Anadol, thanks so much for coming on. Your book, Stupid Party Math versus Myth, we appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, LegalShield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.